Hi fans, this is Phil Myers. It's time for Phantoms Hockey.
It's Phantoms Radio Weekly once again. We have a lot to cover, and so we're going to get started quickly, everybody. So kick back, relax. We're talking all things Phantoms, recapping the week that was, previewing what's up ahead as well. My name is Bob Rotruck, the voice of the Lehigh Valley Phantoms, joined in the booth today by Phantoms reporter Andrew Mossbrooks. The Phantoms are coming off of a four-game point streak entering the AHL All-Star Week, and so the team is actually not here. They are out of town. The players have had some vacation time. They return Thursday afternoon for practice, and then games Friday at home against Charlotte, Saturday on the road at first place Wilkes-Barre-Scranton. And the Phantoms were surging, and they were red hot and on a three-game win streak. Looked like it was going to be four, but in their last game before the All-Star break, it kind of left a sour taste for everyone heading out onto their vacation plans or visiting family or whatnot before the break, because the Phantoms had the lead on Saturday against the Utica Comets in front of the largest crowd of the season, over 8,900 packed into this place on Star Wars night. But the force was with the Utica Comets in the end. They tie it with about a minute to go, win it in overtime, a disappointing way to go, even though it's a four-game point streak for the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. So we get to that and much more as we carry on. We'll also hear from the guy's voice that we heard just a couple minutes ago, Philippe Myers, and a conversation with him and his development. And he is looking better than and better these days. But first, we start with the big news from earlier on Tuesday and the injury to Brian Elliott from a week ago. It carries over, Andrew, to the other side of the All-Star break. And Alex Lyon, he had a quick recall for one day. Now he's back up to the Philadelphia Flyers. And this time for Alex Lyon, maybe the third try is the charm, his third recall, and he might actually get in an NHL game this time. We don't know that, but all the reporters are speculating, and it certainly makes sense with three games in 4 days coming back from the break.
Yeah, no easy game here. You've got the Washington Capitals Wednesday, followed by the Devils the next night, and then a Saturday matinee with the Ottawa Senators. So it's three tough games. Granted, you're going to have a lot of them for the Flyers. They've got 16 of their remaining 33 are against their own division. But for Alex Lyon, I think now there's a bit more faith in him than there was before for Dave Hackstall and the coaching staff there, because you look at what he did. He got in his practice and his reps with the Flyers in the practices over the month of December, and he comes back to the Phantoms. Eight games with Lehigh Valley, a .936 save percentage over the course of those eight, and he's looked terrific in net. Several great stops, and he's a much different goaltender than we saw in the first 2 months of the season.
5-2 and a goals against of .214 and a save percentage of .936, and the kid is flying with some big-time confidence. And the 25-year-old from Babette, Minnesota, I think he's ready to make his NHL debut. I think Dave Hackstall, the head coach of the Philadelphia Flyers, agreed, and they both talked about it earlier today down in Voorhees.
Very confident. I've been playing really well down in Allentown, and team's been playing well down here or down there and up here. So I'm not going to change the approach. I'm just going to keep the same recipe and have patience and trust in that.
Alex, you know what? Alex is, he had a real good camp with us, and I know he's had his ups and downs in, in the American Hockey League, but certainly his play of late has been excellent down there. And anytime that he's with us, he carries himself with a poise, and a presence of readiness. And you see that off the ice, and for sure today in practice, we see that on the ice as well.
So Dave Hackstall, he's indicating right there that he's been paying attention to what Alex Lyon is doing here in Allentown. The guy is on top of things, and so is Ron Hextall, whether he's here or not. They know that Alex Lyon has found his game again after he looked kind of lousy at different times and let in some soft goals in October and particularly in November, and he said that his confidence was wavering then. But then all those practices back in Philly with Kim Delabaugh, the goaltending coach, and Brady Robinson, the goaltending development coach, it appears that they have done Alex Lyon a whole world of good.
Yeah, I think, let's not forget, too, when you're practicing with the Flyers, you're taking shots in practice from the likes of Claude Giroux and Jake Voracek, so I'm sure that helps, too. I think another help for his case comes Friday night when he makes 26 saves in that game against Wilkes-Barre. I know we'll get to that later. But Ron Hextall was here for that. He saw that performance. performance. And we mentioned over these last eight, think back to a week ago, over that a little bit, where Alex Lyons, in my opinion, was one of the standout stars of the AHL's Outdoor Classic in Hershey. He was terrific in that game, 40-plus saves. You know, this guy has, like I said, it's a totally different Lion from what we saw those first 2 months, November especially. Phantoms had a long road trip in that month, and he didn't look particularly sharp there. You know, a little bit of a wavering confidence, and yeah, who would have thought? We were a little worried. Maybe, you know, he's up in Philly for a month, but he doesn't get a start, and he comes back here, and he answers all the naysayers.
Well, and it continued into this week, and he played in Wednesday's game, and then he had to come on in relief in Friday's game. Wednesday, though, was trading big saves back and forth. Lehigh Valley eventually hung on for a 3-2 win. Alex Lyon was this close, 2 minutes away from a shutout, and made one of his biggest saves earlier in the night, and he was just terrific all evening long, I thought.
Got a little hit check there in the middle, and here they come with Forsbacka Carlson. He's in backdoor, diving save across off the right pad. Oh, what a stop by Alex Lyon. Wow, on the back door there, reaches over, and that shot was really missed some by Solarik on the give by Forsbacka Carlson.
Well, it was Forsbacka Carlson on the back door and Solarik, and Alex Lyon made one of several terrific saves. The first period, he was tested right out of the gate. Second period, it kind of dialed down some. And then the third period, you thought you were sleepwalking to the end of a 3-0 easy shutout win for Alex Lyon, but not so fast. Providence doesn't throw in the towel. They pull the goalie with 3.5 left. They score with 1:58 left, and Kenny Agostino was pretty much left wide open on the left circle. And here's a former teammate of Alex Lyon's at Yale University, and he sniped bar down, 6-on-5 goal. Goals will happen, but that was kind of disappointing how that ended up. And then the goal with 30 seconds left after the Phantoms couldn't bury it in the empty net, and Oscar Lindblom was right on top of an empty net. The bounces were going a little bit against the Phantoms. Disappointed that Alex Lyon didn't have the shutout, and this is a theme that's, you know, we're kind of foreshadowing is going to continue later on. The Phantoms did not close out a win that they really should have closed out.
Yeah, this is a tough one here. You look at that game, and there's a reason hockey's 60 minutes, because it was a little over 58 of Phantoms are going to win. They did hold on, but those two late goals by Agostino and Forsbacka Carlson making things a little dangerous. Alex Lyon, I think, deserved a better fate than what was given at the end of the night there, letting up those two goals. And as you mentioned, we talk about some games, it's what happens late there that makes things a little dicey. It happened Wednesday. You survive it. Saturday, sometimes you play with fire enough, you're going to get burnt, and that's what happened against the Utica Comets.
We shall get to that momentarily. Friday night, we had the goals traded back and forth. Dustin Tokarski is pulled 6 minutes into the game, and Scott Gordon said it. I mean, I agree with him. It's something he doesn't do all that often. He had a hunch there is basically what it comes down to, and thinking that maybe he can stop momentum and get a timeout there. And on the other side of that, things did kind of settle down, and the team stepped up in front of Alex Lyon, who was ice cold entering that game. Lyon didn't really face too much of difficulty in the first period after Wilkes-Barre took that 2-1 lead. And then by the end of the first and partway into the second, the Phantoms score him back-to-back, and they turn the tables on Wilkes-Barre, take their first lead of the night on their way to a 5-2 win. Nicholas Obey-Cubell, the first of his two-goal game, and TJ Brennan, he's been red hot too, and they score the second and tying and go-ahead goals in a wonderful Friday night win over the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. I thought they just played wonderfully in shutting down a first-place Wilkes-Barre team and closing the gap in the Atlantic Division. Saturday night all looked well, and Mike Vecchione extends his goal streak to 3, and then Oscar Lindblom, he scores. And a magnificent goal to put the Lehigh Valley Phantoms up in the second period with a shorty against the Utica Comets.
Injury to Goldobin, and he got sandwiched by Fazlayev and Lindblom, and he's hurt. Lindblom is in shorthanded, off the pad and in. Lindblom wraps it around and scores. It's a shorty for Oscar Lindblom. The fifth shorthanded goal of the season for the Phantoms. 3:24 to go in the second. Lindblom scores his 13th of the year, and what a nice goal that was, and it's 2-1 Lehigh Valley. He held that puck away, and that way he went around wide and wrapped it around on the right of the cage.
So that gave Lehigh Valley the lead, and Andrew, I could just watch the video of that goal over and over again, because he does this spinorama thing in the left circle, and every time I feel like we've seen Lindblom close to his best, he steps up his game, and he does it one better, and that was just a wonderful goal that he scored on Saturday.
I think he tried to do one better too Sunday in the All-Star Skills Competition, but yeah, I mean, no, he's been terrific all year. This is why he's one of the Flyers' top prospects, and I know there's been wavering moments for him. He's been a little streaky at times, so he's went a couple games where he doesn't see get Saul on the scoreboard, but I think he's just been so good. The thing I like with Lindblom is he uses his size to get around people, and if you look on that wraparound goal and the replays everywhere online, it was sensational on social media. He does a great job of, as a power forward, he cuts to the front of the net, he's got a defenseman on him, and he stays away from it, wraps around the backside, and then he's able to tuck it home.
Well, I thought he was going to shoot it when he was driving in, and Thatcher Demko did too. He bit way over to the other side. That's where Lindblom decided to go for the wraparound, I think.
When you have all those tools, though, you're able to get goaltenders to commit like that, and that's what Demko did. It's his mistake, and Lindblom's able to capitalize on that.
The end collapsed there, and the goal with a minute left, and then the overtime winner, 2-on-1. You know, you want to say, well, that you can't let that happen. It's hockey. Those things do happen. That's why you pull the goalie in the first place, because you're not out of the game. But this is sort of similar to Wednesday's game in that the Phantoms are not closing games out, and that leaves a sour taste for everyone. Going into the vacation and the All-Star break, no game for a while, and it just sort of sits and lingers there, the last game, and then you're out of here.
And that's the worst feeling. The other thing is, there's a school of thought on this, and you mentioned not being overcritical, because we know the Phantoms are one of the best teams in the American Hockey League. The issue comes, though, with closing out games late, because what are all 30 teams in this league trying to do? They're trying to win a Calder Cup, and obviously only 16 are going to get in. The Phantoms look to be a lock. I don't want to curse them here by saying that, but they're doing pretty well for themselves. They have been all season. When you get into the playoffs, maybe it doesn't happen in round one. Heck, maybe it doesn't happen until the conference finals or the Calder Cup, but you're going to play a team that's going to finish games, and if you can't be one of those teams, you're not raising the trophy in June.
So the Phantoms still with a four-game point streak going into the break, 5-1-1 in their last seven games, and 26-13-6 for an overall mark, which is good for second place in the Atlantic Division on points percentage, but first based on total points. But in points percentage, the Phantoms are second, still trailing Wilkes-Barre-Scranton, with a head-to-head showdown coming up Saturday night in Northeast Pennsylvania after a Friday night home game against the slumping Charlotte Checkers, who are somehow hanging on to fourth place in a tie with Bridgeport. And, you know, that's kind of going fast there, but just to let you know. In the meantime, while the guys are out of town and on the vacation, the AHL All-Star Classic taking place in Utica, New York, by all accounts, another wonderful event. Of course, we were so privileged and honored to have the opportunity to host that event last year, so I have a sense of what that was all about. And Sunday, Oscar Lindblom in the breakaway competition, and he said he just saw this on YouTube a couple days before, and he thought he would try it, and he does this breakaway shootout goal in the competition, and he kicks it, you know, knocks it from his stick to his skate, kicks it back to his stick, and does a little backhand forehand shimmy, and then he barely celebrates at all, but it was a very pretty goal, and maybe one of the highlight reel goals of the skills competition on Sunday. And then TJ Brennan also with a 101-mile-an-hour slap shot. He didn't even win the competition. Alexander Grenier did, almost touching 104, but still 101, which I think surprised pretty much none of us. We know that Brennan has a big slapper.
Yeah, I'd like to see Grenier versus Ovechkin in that competition, by the way. But I think...
I'd like to see Greg Carey in that, but
yeah,
he hasn't made it
true.
To the All-Star game. I think that Carey's slapper is harder than TJ's. No offense, TJ. I think it is.
He's got
enough goals. We got to get a radar gun to really see.
Yeah, we might have to have a Phantom skills competition of our own at the end of the season here. Yeah, no, and the Oscar Lindblom goal, I watched it about 15 times already today, so it's so fun to watch. I highly recommend it if you haven't seen it. This guy has the skills. He's got the size and the skills. Best of both worlds for Lindblom, and he gets to show them off up in Utica.
His hands are much better than I think people are aware of, because his skating is not the best in the world, but he's so big and he's strong on the puck and he holds it away from you. You're never going to get it from him, but he's got the hands too, and I think he's gaining confidence, and you see that in that breakaway competition. I think it is him gaining confidence here at the American Hockey League level, which sounds kind of strange for a kid who won Swedish Hockey League Forward of the Year last year, but it feels that way to me, that Lindblom is feeling it out and continuing to just roll here in North America on his way to the NHL. Absolutely. I don't think there's any question about that he'll make it there sooner or later. He still needs some time, but he's going to get there. In the All-Star game on Monday, TJ Brennan scores 3 goals. They play the round robin divisional format, just like the NHL did on Sunday. And it looked like the Atlantic Division was on their way to advancing. And then the North Division, down by a couple with a minute and a half left, they pull the goalie, they score a couple, and they rally all the way back to win. Andy Zilch, the voice of the Utica Comets, on the call as the Atlantic Division ended up going down in flames. The comeback of the year for the North Division in the AHL. NHL All-Star Classic.
We're tied at 3, 23 seconds remain. Bork's going to take charge. He'll work it in. And a feed intended for Grenier's poked away. Back the other way, the North Division. Johnson to the net, shoots, scores! 12.2 remaining. Johnson scores for the North.
Doesn't even seem fair because Andreas Janssen was a last-minute replacement, of which there are many for the All-Star game because guys get hurt, and many guys, if you're one of the best in the league, naturally you're in line for a call-up when your NHL team needs you, and so a lot of the guys go up and then they end up being replaced. Oscar Lindblom was a replacement as well because Danik Martel was originally named the All-Star Classic. The North Division ends up going on to win the AHL All-Star Classic in the championship round, and then the winning goalies get together, and Thatcher Demko and Linus Ullmark in their post-game party at the Turning Stone Casino, and they were singing a duet on karaoke of We Are the Champions. I think that might have been the highlight of the weekend. It is about fun, and there's a beverage or two that is had over the course of the All-Star Week, and it's a big celebration of the league is what it is. The AHL Hall of Fame weekend as well. Dave Andrews, the president of the league, does his State of the League address for the media as well, and he said, you know, we're going to have a little bit of shuffling and realignment with the addition of Colorado to the Western Conference next year. The two Texas teams will come to the Central. That means that one of those Central teams has to come to the Eastern Conference, and many are speculating Cleveland could be coming to the Eastern Conference, which would be enjoyable and entertaining, and they might be added to the North Division, although Dave Andrews won't confirm that yet. We'll find out in May, the official divisional realignment. He can't say it out loud until the Board of Governors votes and they approve, which will happen in May. But there's the news. But really, the news is just what you expected to be, that the league is as strong as ever, and now we'll have 31 affiliates for 31 teams next year. There's so much that happens over the All-Star Classic week, as we found out when we hosted it here in Allentown last year, and some of our staff went up to Utica, New York, including with, you know, along with TJ Brennan and Oscar Lindblom. Huge celebration of the league. And so with that, now we're kind of caught up. We had the games last week, the All-Star stuff. Alex Lyon goes up. I told you there was a lot to cover. And so let's go ahead, step aside for a break, because we still have more to cover, believe it or not. And we have Philippe Myers on the way talking about the improvement to his game, and now his injury feels fully healed. When he came back at first, he wasn't 100%, and I thought he looked pretty good, but he admitted, no, it took him a couple weeks before he was really all the way back and ready to play his game. Now he is, and now he's paired with Travis Sanheim too. So Philippe Myers is coming up, and we'll hear also Scott Gordon's comments about Philippe Myers.
This is Phil Myers. Catch the games on the Phantom 365 app and the Lehigh Valley Phantoms radio network.
The development and progression of Philippe Myers continues, and now the big defenseman is looking better and better, and paired with Travis Sanheim, too. Myers had a rough first half of the season, sitting out more than playing with his continued injury problems, but now he feels healthy, ready to contribute, and continue improving and refining his game.
You know, obviously being hurt and the first half of the season wasn't the half that I wanted to be. I was out for a couple of games. I missed about half of them. And, you know, lately I've just been, you know, my groin's been strengthening up, and I feel a lot stronger and more stable on the ice. And, you know, I feel like I can move a lot better, which is huge. I mean, skating's is a huge part of hockey. And, I mean, I've just been feeling myself. You know, I've been getting to the stuff that I was doing last year, and you know, just regaining those good habits. And I think you know, I've been trying to keep it simple and not overcomplicate things, and it's been working out well for me. So
I know coaches talk about, you know, being defensively sound. Is that something that you've had to really lock in on? You try to hone your game?
Yeah, I mean, I've been trying to chip in offensively whenever I can, but obviously we have a defensive first mentality here, and you know, the good offense starts with good defense, and you know, you got to take care of your own end before you can, you know, jump in the rush, or you know, you just got to seize the opportunity. And you know, when the opportunity is there, obviously you go, and if it's not there, then you don't go. And you know, it's just keeping it simple in terms of, you know, just joining the play and stuff, and you know, not trying to force things and not trying to force to jump in the rush. So that's something that I've had to work on throughout the year, and you know, I think I've done a pretty good job at it, and you know, I just got to keep at it and keep the little details going.
It's been a year now since last year's World Juniors when you turned a lot of heads. How much have you developed and matured from that point last year to where you're at now?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think I've learned a lot between now and then, and you know, just the fact that I had to deal with injuries, and you know, I just had to stay positive and all that stuff, and it's, you know, really important, and just you know, learning a lot defensively, working after practice with the coaches and stuff, doing a lot of video. I just think I grew as a person, and you know, as a player, I feel confident. My confidence is coming back, and you know, I'm happy with the way things are going now, and I'm going to keep building on that.
You talked about frustration from the first half of the season and staying positive, and this is something you and I had talked about before. You knew that there's still a half a season left at least. Yeah. When you come back, that's still a lot of hockey, so you know, it feels like this is really bad when it's going on and you're watching one game after another from up there, but you've got a full ton of games still coming your way.
Yeah, I mean, we still got a lot of work left. We got half the season and you know, playoffs after that, and
that's a reason to stay positive.
Exactly, yeah. There's still lots of hockey left. I think we have about 30, 35 more games, and it's just gonna keep working hard and, you know, keep going and trying to get better as a player. So,
is this as good as you felt since juniors, would you say, right now?
Yeah.
It's taken that long.
Yeah, I feel really good right now, and, you know, I'm just happy with the way things are going lately, and you know, I felt like myself on the ice a couple of weeks ago for the first time this year, and you know, I felt comfortable moving, and you know, I wasn't feeling any pain at all. So I'm just gonna stay on top of it so it doesn't come back, and you know, that's what we've been doing lately, and it's been working. So we're just gonna keep going that way.
You and Sam have been sort of dealing with that groin. Have you guys discussed, I mean, just the challenges that come with that, how you sort of overcome it?
We haven't really talked about how to overcome it, but you know, we were at one point coming here to rehab, just us two together, and you know, we're staying positive, encouraging each other, and you know, that's what you got to do. You got to be a good teammate, and you know, help him out, and you know, I know exactly what he's going through, so you know, I'm just gonna, you know, encourage him to work hard and stuff, and stay positive. So it's not going to last forever. I mean, he's going to be back eventually, and you know, you just got to think about it that way and, you know, not get negative.
I think the Flyers organization really got a steal with Philippe Myers. This kid was a free agent that could have gone anywhere, and the Flyers signed him, and almost immediately after that is when Myers started blossoming into a top-tier young player. Hard to believe Myers was undrafted in major juniors. You watch him now, and it's obvious his skill set and his skating ability for somebody his size, just awesome. Myers is going to be a good one. And belated happy birthday to, by the way, Philippe Myers turned 21 years old on Thursday.
Hi, fans. This is Phil Myers. It's time for Phantoms Hockey. This is Phil Myers. Catch the games on the Phantom 365 app and the Lehigh Valley Phantoms radio network.
Phantoms Radio Weekly continues from PPL Center. Bob Rotruck here with you, along with Phantoms reporter Andrew Mossbrooks. The American Hockey League and power management company Eaton have announced a local hockey rink lighting upgrade promotion called Light Like the Pros. Lighting, typically an ice rink's second largest electricity consumer, and this lighting system typically reduces that by 70% on the cost. Steel Ice in Bethlehem is still one of 33 quarterfinalists. You can vote once per day, and you can help support Steel Ice by visiting lightlikethepros.com. Every vote helps. We encourage you to vote often. Voting closes on Friday, so you don't have much time to help us out on the Steel Ice Rink vote for the new lighting system, and they are still in the running for this. Lehigh Valley Phantoms are at home on Friday. They are on the road at Wilkes-Barre on Saturday. First is the Friday game against the Charlotte Checkers. Before the break, we heard Phil Myers talking about the increased caliber of his play and how much better he's been lately, and now recovering from that groin injury. Scott Myers had some thoughts on Phil Myers as well and just loves what he's seeing out of him and had some comparisons with where was Travis Sanheim at this point halfway through his first season and also some thoughts about Robert Hague, Sam Moran compared with Myers. I mean, that's fair because they're both big defensemen, although they're both kind of different style defensemen as well. So let's hear from Scott Gordon and his thoughts on the rookie defenseman Philippe Myers and the future awfully bright for the blue liner.
You know, when you look at Travis last year and I think probably around January is when Travis started to hit his stride where, you know, he just wasn't a body out there. He started making contributions offensively and defensively. And now with Phil, when you consider that the last probably 3 or 4 weeks he's played some of his best hockey, but he's done it in half the amount of time because he's missed half the games and he's missed half the practices. So, you know, you wonder where he'd be right now if he hadn't been, you know, had the nagging injuries. And, you know, he's his ability to get up and down the ice and make plays and use his shot and defend, he's like kind of a sneaky, hard player. You know, like he's got a little bit of Sam in him at times where, you know, players pay a price when they go near him. And, you know, it's not as maybe dramatic as Sam's, but he does play with an edge and then he has that offensive upside.
If he is looking to take that next step, what area is holding him back or what areas does he need to clean up?
Well, it's not just one area. It's just getting the consistency of doing everything well. And I don't think we have to look at a more perfect example than Robert Hague. It wasn't just one thing that he had to get better at. Yeah, there was maybe a handful of things that he had to change, but the consistency of everything you do is what's important. So, like, when you look at Travis last year and his first year, and there were some major things that he had to improve on in the first 2 months, which he did, and then there was, you know, the details of not overhandling the puck as far as stick handling and playing inside the dots and identifying when to go, when not to go, how you're coming back, how you defend the net front, and all of that improved. Particularly, you know, once January hit, he became a very good American League player. You know, for me, the next thing for Travis was to work on the smaller points, the one-on-one battles, the defensive game, and it's the same thing with Phil. You know, so there's a process for me that you take care of the big things first. So with all of our D, it's always about the ice surface. It's about not complicating your life on the breakout and making that first early pass when it's there, looking to the middle of the ice, and if the middle of the ice isn't available, then you go, you check off and you go to the next option. And that part of the game has progressed for him, and now it's just going to be about the positional play. It's going to be about the defending part of it, the abrasiveness at the net front, good stick, you know, positioning of his stick, and, you know, the little detail stuff that comes over time. And that's, you know, you can't have everything all at once. Yeah. You know, it's just information overload. But, you know, like I talked to Robert Hague a year and a half ago, and one of the things that I talked to him about was just his own personal pride in winning his one-on-one battles and monitoring that. And that's something that, you know, I'm going to have the same conversation with Travis about. Like, just, you know, it's not just what you do with the puck, but it's what you do without the puck and how hard you are to play against. And the harder you are, the more quit you get from the opposition, the easier your game gets. And it's not just about getting the other player to quit, but just also getting yourself to be able to do more because you're out working the guy that you're up against.
Okay, so that's some thoughts about Philippe Myers, but also about Sanheim, about Robert Hague, among others. So when Scott Gordon gets on a roll, and he's not just talking X's and O's, he's talking about little aspects of the game. This is important stuff, and I find it very interesting because, and the players do too. I mean, they sit there with him, and he tells them the same. You can tell he's telling these guys the same thing that he's telling the reporters. Hey, we're working on you having the compete level in the puck battles along the boards. That's going to get you to the NHL. And eventually, it happened for Robert Hague, and then Scott says, I'm going to talk about that with Sanheim. When Scott Gordon gets on a roll, he's so enjoyable to listen to, but the end point here. Phil Myers looks great, and it was a lot of fun watching Myers and Sanheim together. Andrew, this was a treat. These are two top-notch Flyers prospects, and they've been paired together for the Phantoms for the last three games.
Yeah, this is the next deadly duo for the Lehigh Valley Phantoms, if I ever saw one, because of everything they have. And I was looking at this a little bit earlier, and I like trying to compare a player with another player. So when I look at these two guys, seriously, I think almost like an Erik Karlsson, and here's why. Size, if you look at Sanheim, he's 6'4". If you look at Myers, he's 6'5". Erik Karlsson, a big guy, too, for the Ottawa Senators. You look at the shot. They've all got lasers from the point. If you look at the skating ability, though, and in the olden days, they'd say, you know, the big burly defensemen weren't the quickest guys on the back end. But you look at Sanheim and Myers and what they can do. The skating ability and the finesse of it is just terrific. And I love them together. And I think, like you said about Scott Gordon, you know, he's so descriptive and detailed talking about these guys and breaking things down. And a big thing that he said is it's not always what you do with the puck. It's what you do without the puck. And Greg Berube, who was assistant coach for the Flyers for 7 seasons before he became the head coach there, and he's with St. Louis now, but work with me here. He was with the defensemen, and that's who he worked with a lot. And that was the one thing I remember him saying when he got hired to be the head coach. He said, it's going to be what we do without the puck. He did that and worked on that with defensemen for several years. Gordon doing it here, working on guys to do those same things. It's what gets him to the NHL. It's why Robert Haig is there right now. It's why Sanheim was there. He's just got to do it a little bit more to get back there.
There were a couple of fairly drool-worthy pushes by each of these guys, Myers and Sanheim. They're rotating around, and I mean, there are instances in the attacking zone, and it's just fun to watch, and it's highlight real stuff. And if they convert and finish it, then it's really highlight real stuff. But it's these two guys. It really just looks like, hey, we're going out there. We complement each other in this style. Let's go out there and have some fun and make it happen. And there are times when they sense the timing is right to give it that push.
Yep, and I agree. And it's interesting because they're two guys that I would consider offensive-minded defensemen. Putting those on the same unit there, a lot of coaches will stay away from that. You don't want two offensive-minded defensemen on the same pairing there. But with these guys, you can do that because they have a sense for where the other is going to be, which I think is crazy given they've played 3 games together. But I saw that Saturday and Friday even. It just feels like the chemistry is so clean, and you can see it visually from a broadcast standpoint. Obviously, they have it on the players' end. And the skating ability, I have to go back to that because these are 6'4" and 6'5" defensemen that are skating around like they're Danik Martell at 5'8".
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, they really are. And the future is bright for Phil Myers. And by the way, it is also still very bright for Travis Sanheim. Charlotte Checkers come to town on Friday at Wilkes-Barre Scranton on Saturday. And so getting right back into the thick of it and, you know, 31 games left after 45 games down. I mean, to me, that's stretch run territory here. Charlotte Checkers are 4-8-1 in their last 13 games. And they're still in fourth place in the Atlantic, which is not as strong as it was last year when fifth place in our division would have been first place in the North. But it still is good. But Charlotte, I mean, and now they're tied for fourth with Bridgeport, and Hartford is coming on strong on a 5-game win streak, and they're actually closing the gap. It looks like nobody wants the fourth place spot. Certainly not Hershey, because they've dropped 8 in a row, and they're all the way down to the cellar now. Charlotte has to be better than their record, but they were just swept at home by Hartford back-to-back, a shootout loss and a 4-0 loss for a Charlotte team.
A shootout and a shutout.
Yeah, they're supposed to have the offense there, and they have Valentin Zhikov and Lucas Wallmark when he's there. He's been up and down a couple of times. I thought Charlotte was a much better team this year, but their defense seems a little shaky. Their goaltending is kind of touch and go. And now Charlotte comes here, and you know they make these longer road trips. Friday in Allentown, Saturday and Sunday back-to-back at Hershey. Then next Wednesday back in Allentown, so they have a couple of days off where they're hanging out at the hotel here at PPL Center too.
Yeah, but here's the thing. They, just like the Phantoms, are coming off the All-Star break, so they're probably a bit more rested.
They normally would be.
And one thought is, okay, maybe Phantoms are catching Charlotte at the right time. Maybe not, too. I mean, yes, this team is 4-8-1 since they were on that 8-1-1 tear. They're still a good team. You mentioned it. We talk about Warren Fogle, a guy you didn't mention, and he's first in rookie goals. Valentin Zhikov is tied with Reed Reed Boucher for most goals. They have the top power play in the Atlantic, by the way. So they're just a couple ticks under 20% there. This is one of those trap games you cannot fool yourself and say, well, yeah, what a way to great start to come back here. Let's play a struggling team and beat them.
Yeah.
You got to be careful. There's weapons on this team.
Well, trap game. I mean, I think Utica was a trap game after that emotional and intense game against Wilkes-Barre. Yep. And now you have Wilkes-Barre coming up on Saturday. And that game here on Friday, it just got downright nasty. I mean, these teams really don't like each other. Now it's our last visit to Wilkes-Barre this season.
Yep.
And the rivalry is just gaining intensity with every single showdown. So what's going to happen Saturday with a big crowd in Wilkes-Barre, I'm sure, and a lot of Phantoms fans screaming their heads off too?
That's why I'm happy that it's Wilkes-Barre on the other side and Charlotte first, because you worry about those games sometimes. That was what happened with Utica. It's the second half after a tremendous rivalry-filled game on Friday. So have to be careful with those games. Phantoms have two this weekend, hoping for two wins on the other side of that break.
If the Phantoms win and Wilkes-Barre takes a loss, perhaps in the head-to-head showdown on Saturday, then Lehigh Valley would technically leapfrog ahead of Wilkes-Barre for the first place spot in the Atlantic. And don't you think for a second that the guys in the locker room aren't aware of that. I promise you that they are. So Friday at home against Charlotte, Saturday on the road at Wilkes-Barre, and then next Wednesday back at home here against the Charlotte Checkers, the affiliation of the Carolina Hurricanes. And well, now it's the stretch run. It's the last 31 games of the regular season. Along with Phantoms reporter Andrew Mossbrooks, I'm Bob Rotruck. Thanks for joining us for Phantoms Radio Weekly.
Hi, fans. This is Chris Connor. It's time for Phantoms Hockey.